Hi, this is Marlena Lieber welcoming you to Blind Spot. Blind Spot is a series of programs heard this time each week on ACB Radio where we talk no-tech, low-tech kinds of things. If you've got an idea for something you'd like to hear on Blind Spot, why not drop me an email? My email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Hello, and welcome to Blind Spot. This is Marlena Lieberg. This week on Blind Spot, we're going to spend some time with someone whose name is probably familiar to many folks, but on a very different topic from that which we normally associate our guests with. Janine Stanley has been the president and very active president of Guide Dog Users, our special interest affiliate, for probably more years than she wants to think about. But tonight we're not talking about guide dogs. Instead, we're talking about alternative ways to kind of handle our stress, to kind of get relaxed, and that is through aromatherapy. Janine, welcome to Blind Spot.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to have you. And, you know, I'm very honest with my Blind Spot audience. Remember, guys, when I interviewed Mitzi Friedlander and I told you this was number two? Well, this is Janine's second go-around, too.
Except we don't say number two when we're talking to guide dog people, Marlene. That's a whole different meaning.
And did you bring a baggie?
I always have a baggie.
You are the baggie queen.
I am.
Janine, how did you get involved in aromatherapy, first of all?
Well, I was going to see a counselor, handling some issues around my blindness. I grew up as a really high partial and then lost my sight in my late teens, early 20s to glaucoma. It was kind of a slow process, and I had a lot of trouble adjusting. And I went to a counselor finally after doing the rounds of the mental health system, and we had been working for many years on these issues and kind of not making a whole lot of progress. And she said, let me try something. While we're talking today, I just want to share with you some oils. And these are called essential oils. And we're just going to put them in the diffuser and just, you know, you can just smell them while we're talking and see what you think. And that got me started. I became very curious because the oils allowed me to kind of focus on something other than the words I was about to say to her. Because I think as blind people, we're good talkers. We can talk our way around anything and talk our way out of anything. And sometimes we forget to go right to the basic feelings and emotions, and olfactory sensations can really get to those. You know, you smell baking bread, and you remember something from your childhood. You smell tobacco, you remember some relative. You know, you smell peppermint, and another thing happens. And so the sense of smell is really, really crucial in triggering emotions, and you can control that through aromatherapy.
Well, that's very interesting. I know very little about aromatherapy except that I enjoy the essential oils, and my house always smells like something, whether it's frankincense or whatever. I always have something going. But one problem I'm discovering is I don't know where to buy my oils, and so being the neophyte that I am, I go to these little stands in the mall, and boy, sometimes that stuff can stink.
Yes, sometimes it's not of the highest quality. Unless you know the people and they're coming from, you know, say they've got a shop somewhere and they're just setting up their stand in the mall, and you know their shop, that would be a safe place to go. But normally just your little commercial stand at a fair or at the mall or something is not going to be a good place to buy your oils. You're going to either want to buy them from a reputable distributor like Young Living, which is a national, international company that has distributors all over the place. I think we had one at the ACB convention one year. I saw one of her advertisements. And they certainly have quality oils. Or you get them from a shop or a store on the Internet that advertises pure essential oils. And go there and smell what they've got and ask them questions when you go and buy the oils. I'm lucky here in Columbus that we have a shop called Earth Elements. And they're not on the Internet, unfortunately. But I can go in there and test drive some oils before I go looking for them on the net at some of my favorite places, or I can buy them there if I like their version of them. So you want to ask and have, if you are going with a sighted person, to look at the oils, because I don't want to say that everybody's disreputable, but sometimes store help being what it is these days, ask to see if the Latin name of the plant that the oil is distilled from is on the label. That's really important, especially with things like lavender. Lavender is one of those things that it's almost a generic word now. And everybody, oh, lavender is wonderful for this and that. And yes, it's a fantastic oil, but you want to make sure that you're getting the scientific name of the plant and that it is pure essential oil. You also want to find out how much of the actual oil, and it's really not an oil, it's more of a substance, is in the solution that you're getting. Some oils, like rose oil, is very expensive. It's like, over $150 an ounce. It's very expensive. So is jasmine, because it's very hard to produce. So what they'll often do is put a 10% solution of rose oil in something like jojoba oil or coconut oil or something like that. And the coconut oil that you see advertised as a carrier oil is it has the scent taken out of it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to stand it if it didn't.
Yeah, somehow rose and coconut.
Yeah. Yeah, pure coconut oil has a pretty, pretty powerful smell. So there's a process that they do to take the coconut smell out of it. So you get this really nice oil without the horrible coconut smell. But usually, your oils like that will be in a solution, 10% of the actual oil. And some of these oils, like rose and jasmine, are pretty strong by themselves, so you really want them diluted. But be sure to look for the percentage of the solution. And then use your nose. Even if it is a true essential oil and you're getting it from a good quality distributor, you may like some blends better than others or some distillations of a certain oil better than others. And play around with it. And if you have a big health food store that's got store help for each department, find somebody, pardon me, in the essential oil section, and they'll be able to help you and get you started. And they will tell you, use your nose.
What should we buy? Where should we start? You know, I looked on the web, and holy smokes. I mean, honey, they got more oil there than you can take.
Oh, yeah. And it's very overwhelming. What helped me was my counselor bought me as a gift a little starter kit. And she got it from Young Living, but a number of places have little starter kits, little eighth of an ounce tubes, or they come in either fractions of an ounce or milliliters. And I'm terrible with the metric system. I must have missed that week in school or something. I don't know. I can never keep those measurements straight. But you can get little vials of the oil to try out. And that was how I got started with the pack from Young Living, and I can't remember the exact name of it. It has five different oils in it and a tape that talks about them. And that's a nice way to get started. I found that a lot of the health food stores have little sample packs of their oils, and then the staff person can explain to you how to get started using them.
I know that these oils can be used for many things, including something I think many blind people have as an issue based on what I've seen on lists around the internet, and that is sleeping.
Uh-huh. I struggle with that as well.
Yeah.
And I found that essential oils help a great deal with that. Nothing is foolproof, but these can certainly help calm you down a little bit. In fact, I use oils quite a bit. I have evening classes, and that's a lot of stimulation of your brain in the evening. And I come home wound up, so I end up using my oils to actually get sleep and not drive my husband crazy. Lavender is a wonderful oil for sleep. Lavender does so many things. There are actually two facets the way I look at oils. First of all, you can look at them from a medical standpoint. What do they do for you medically? And then you can look at them from an emotional standpoint. And lavender is an all-purpose oil. It does all kinds of wonderful things. But for sleep, for relaxation, for calming and focus, it's wonderful. And what you can do is take a couple drops of your lovely lavender oil that you bought and put them on a cotton ball and put that cotton ball inside your pillowcase at night. And just that really nice, gentle scent will help you go to sleep. And if that's not doing the trick, you can add a couple drops to your cotton ball of orange oil. And this oil comes from the peel of the orange, much like if you grate an orange peel and get that lovely zest stuff. That's where the orange oil comes from. Huh. You combine that with the lavender, and that one puts me right to sleep. I go right out with that. You can also add to that a little Roman chamomile. And it's just like chamomile tea. It smells the same. I always think it smells like juicy fruit gum. That is extremely calming. Maybe even a little clove oil with that. Clove is extremely sedating and calming and will help you sleep. So you can put it on a cotton ball. You can mix it with some carrier oil, which is just a light vegetable-based oil, plant-based oil, like grapeseed oil is a good one to start out with because, A, it's cheap.
Yeah.
And, B, it's a very lightweight oil. It absorbs into your skin very quickly. You can rub that on your feet at night with your lovely lavender and orange blend and just give yourself a nice foot massage. That'll relax you. That also helps the oils get into your bloodstream. And you've got this wonderful smell going not only on your feet but also on your hands. And you can rub a little on your temples as well and then go right to sleep.
Oh, that sounds, you're making me tired right now. So you've put us to sleep. How do we wake up?
A lovely wake-up oil is peppermint. And peppermint medically does a whole lot of things like helping with swelling and disinfecting and things like that. It's a great first aid oil like lavender. But to wake you up, to make you a little more alert, in fact, if you blend it with lavender, and this is where oils can be very versatile, and depending on what they're blended with, they may have a whole new effect. A blend of lavender and peppermint blended equally is probably going to help you to stay awake and alert but focused, not hyper. Now, if you want to be hyper, you just can't get out of bed, add a little grapefruit, pink grapefruit, to your peppermint and lavender blend. Now, this all sounds, that would smell horrible, and it smells wonderful. And boy, does it wake you up.
But now I'm trying to picture this. I wake up in the morning, and with my schedule, I am so exhausted in the morning. I try to be in bed by 9 because we get up at 4:30. I cannot picture myself reaching over and putting this stuff on the cotton. I mean, is there sort of a way to prepare it the night before?
You can definitely prepare it the night before.
In fact,
you can have a bottle all mixed up and sitting by your bed, and you can just dab a little bit of it on your wrist in the morning. Or you can just take a big old sniff out of the bottle in the morning. Or you can put it in your diffuser and then just reach over and hit the on switch.
Aha.
And let that go for a little bit as you're waking up.
Well, now talk to me about diffusers. You can get these from these foofy bath stores. You can get these electric ones that you put water in, and then you can get the ones that stay warm with tea candles. And
You can also get little clay pots that you can put some drops of the oil in and all sorts of things. A diffuser is a way to get the oils into the air in a fine mist, spray, in some fashion, to get them into the air in tiny, tiny molecules so that you can breathe them in. And probably the lowest on the scale of diffusers, if you're just getting started, is a little clay pot or a stone that you can put some of the oils on and sit it on your desk, in the sunshine, on your dashboard, and let the natural heat of the sun warm it and bring out the scent of the oils. Now, those are okay. They're not bad. The next step up in diffusers is something that you would plug into a heat source, and it's dry, and you would put a little tab of cotton on there, and the heat source below the cotton would heat up and heat the oils. Well, that's all well and good, and they're great for traveling, but A, you have to replace the cotton pads, and B, heating the oils changes the character of the aroma and the effect of the chemicals that you get. So you have to be a little careful about those, plus you're hoping that you don't forget to leave them there on the cotton burns up. It's another big one. Then there are diffusers that use similar little cotton pads, and they blow air through. They have a little fan in them, and they blow air through the oil. And these are not bad, but they're really not giving you the same effect as a diffuser with a nebulizer. And a nebulizer is just a little chimney that basically you stick your bottle through your bottle onto the oil, onto the nebulizer. A little stem goes down inside, draws the oil up through the little chimney with us. There's a motor involved here and some hoses, and then sprays it out in a very, very fine mist. And the last one was the one that you mentioned, where you'll put the oil, a couple drops of your oil or your blend, in some water, and that water will be heated either with an electric heater, which is much safer and much more effective for a blind person to use, or with a tea candle. Now, if you like candles and you're great with lighting candles, that's wonderful, but I have three cats, and candles scare me.
Yeah, sure.
So the electric ones, this is not a bad way to diffuse oil, especially if you're diffusing something like a eucalyptus, if you're sick and you need to get that into the air to help you breathe. That's a wonderful way to diffuse it with the moisture. The water really doesn't get hot enough to send the oil into the air in enough concentration, I don't think, anyway, for my preferences, to really help. It makes the air very nice and clean and fresh, but they don't tend to last all that long in my experience. But then I'm really picky about diffusers, too. So,
what sort of price range are we looking at with these diffusers?
We are looking at anything from $4 to $5 for one of the cheaper ones. I've seen the water-based ones go anywhere from $10 to $30, $50 for a diffuser with a nebulizer. The model that I have, because I wanted to get one that was really sturdy and I use it a lot, I take it all over the place, was around $115. And I looked at it as an investment. Now, the parts for it are really cheap. We're talking under $20 to replace the entire nebulizer and all of the parts that go inside.
Sure.
So I'm really paying for the timer and the construction of the thing.
Now, how long do we keep the diffuser going if we have a nebulizer?
You really only want to keep it going. If you don't have one with a timer, you want to keep it going 10 minutes at the maximum.
Okay.
With 20-minute intervals in between, because you don't want to saturate the air with the oil, number one, but also you don't want to burn your nose out. After a while, you can't smell the oil. A break 5 minutes is actually pretty good.
Okay, so maybe 5 minutes on and 20 minutes off and 5 minutes on.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay.
And you can buy them with a timer. In fact, that's what makes them more expensive when you buy them with a nebulizer, that they'll come with a timer. Or you can put them on an appliance timer.
Sure, sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, you talked about drops.
Oh,
how do you know? How do you do that?
Well, your oils, when you buy them, will come in bottles, and you want to store them in a cool, dark place. Your bathroom is great. Under your bathroom sink is good if you don't have a lot of, you know, hot water pipes under there. It's going to make it warm. They come in bottles that are glass, and they come with little rubber stoppers in them usually. And the glass bottles are either going to be amber, which is a brown, or cobalt blue, which is a dark blue color. And the little stoppers at the top are called orifice reducers, which to me sounds a little perverse, but that's okay. Anyway, these things will let out one drop of oil at a time. And you see in all these recipes on the Internet and, you know, people's blends and stuff, so many drops of this and so many drops of that. Well, the only way I found to measure these drops was into my hand. Well, that's not going to work if I'm making a whole batch. I can't pour it out of my hand and into another bottle. So I use eyedroppers, which is what they use in the shops to measure the oil when they put it into your blend. And you can get eyedroppers. They have a little glass. The name of it is just escaped me, but the little part that sticks down into the bottle is glass.
Yeah, like the shaft.
Yes, exactly. And then the rubber part up at the top, the little nipple that you squeeze to draw the liquid up, is rubber. And then there's a plastic ring that allows you to screw that into the top of the bottle to make an airtight seal to pull the liquid up. And I have found these things come in 1 ounce sizes all the way down to an eighth of an ounce size. And I've experimented in different oils make different size drops. So what one drop of patchouli is might be 6 drops of lavender. It depends on how heavy the oil is. And patchouli is a very heavy, heavy oil. A lot of us remember that one well, don't we?
Yeah, man.
I found that depending on the oil, the 1 ounce dropper is about 10 to 15 drops. It really kind of depends on what you're mixing. And then the eighth of an ounce dropper, the smallest one that I've seen, gives you about 1 to 3 drops. So that's sort of the way I measure. I think there's an art to it. And when you, the more you work with the oils, the more you discover what you like and what makes a blend smell a certain way.
So how do we learn more about this?
Well, we have a couple different sources for you. The place where I started out learning a good bit, I just did a search on the Internet for aromatherapy. Oh, don't ever do that.
Yeah.
Oh, it was unique.
Oh.
So I finally found a site that I liked, and I ordered their products, and I really like their products. And it's a great site to read, to learn. Don't think everything is gospel. Some of it is absolutely true. Some of it is, okay, that's this person's experience. My experience has been a little different. But the site that I learned the most from and found a lot of really good links to go off and explore other things from was called naturesgift.com, and that's naturesgift.com. The other place that is brand new and is a result of you allowing me to do the show, and I'm so excited, is a new email list on eGroups called Touch of Light. And I know that I was so perplexed when I started out because there is basically no material in alternative formats about essential oils except what you're going to read on the Internet. All of the great books by Dr. Gary Young that talk about the chemistry of essential oils, etc., none of those are in alternative formats that I've been able to find. Anyway, I did a search at RSB&B. I did a search of NLS. I found one book, and I had read it, and I really didn't like it. But I figured, hey, look, if I was this perplexed as a blind person, and I spent probably a month just going berserk over the drop issue, I don't know how much a drop is. What am I going to do? I knew that there were probably other people who, A, might be doing this for a living as part of massage therapy and had it already figured out, or B, were just like me and wanted to learn. So we formed a discussion list on eGroup. It's called Touch of Light, and we would love to have everyone come and sign up to the list.
And how do they do that?
They can send an email, too, and I'll get the address right this time. touchoflightowner@egroup.com, and I will spell that out because there are dashes. It's touchoflightowner@egroups.com.
Great.
And that will get you there, and we're going to talk all about different kinds of diffusers and my experience with diffusers, and hopefully other people will chime in. There are only a few of us there right now, but I hope that will change.
Well, I hope that the listeners will support you, number one, and if they're interested in this topic, will subscribe. And number two, will use this as a learning tool if they are interested, because there really is precious little for us to read and learn about this issue in alternative formats.
We're also probably going to talk about energy work on the list, Reiki and yoga and other types of energy work. And this is a selfish purpose for me. I've been wanting to learn to do yoga for a long time, but I don't understand what the positions are.
Oh, cool.
So I need someone to show me what they are or describe them to me.
I see another interview.
Oh, yes.
Well, now, Janine, I cannot let you go without asking the question.
Oh, and what might that be?
One of the things we always hear about essential oils is that they can be great aphrodisiacs. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
Tell us. All right, everybody, the ears are perking.
Pull up to your radio. One of the earliest uses for essential oils was not only in spiritual kinds of things, but as aphrodisiacs. And you can make some wonderful oil blends or look for some when you're shopping for oils. And again, let your nose drive you because different things turn different people on. But you want to put these in a carrier oil because you're putting them right on your skin and you're putting them probably on some very sensitive parts of your skin. So make sure that they're well mixed in your carrier oil with 10% of your essential oil blend to the rest of your carrier. But as an example, I mixed up one about a week ago that I got a recipe for on the Internet and I sort of added to it. And it starts with sandalwood, which is, everyone knows sandalwood, that lovely wood, beautiful smell. And I added a little black pepper.
Oh.
Yeah. Black pepper is a very exotic smell. It doesn't smell like, you know, when you open up your pepper shaker. The oil actually smells very nice and spicy, and it warms up your skin. I added a little bit of that rose oil, that 10% rose oil. Put a little bit of that in there. Added just a couple drops of clove oil, because clove is very sensual, and you only want to use a little bit of that, so it's nice and spicy. Put a little rosemary in there. Rosemary oil is nice and clean and fresh and spicy, but it also gets your blood moving. And then, because my husband loves peppermint, I put just a couple drops of peppermint in there.
Ooh.
And that makes you tingle. And there's also ginger oil in there to warm up your skin. And this is great stuff, I must tell you. Now,
okay.
Each person is going to have their own blend. So, like I said, when someone is mixing up an oil for you, if you go to a shop and they mix up oils for you, you know, they're going to ask you some questions about yourself. What do you like? You know, what kind of smell turns you on? And then they're going to mix up an oil blend based on that. So, different strokes for different folks, as they say.
I tell you, this makes me want to run right out now and buy those oils. Oh.
Well, you know, I really can't wait to test drive this one again because you never know, you know. Let it sit for a little bit and see how it ages.
I see. We'll have a follow-up report, folks. News at 11.
Well, the bad part is that, it's probably good that Marlena didn't know that I brought a lot of my oils to the convention this year. I usually travel with a fair number of them. And little did anyone know.
Little did anyone know. And, it sounds like you may have just financed your way to the convention this year.
Well, I do personal blends for people, and so you can email me for information about that if you like.
And how may people contact you through email?
The best way to get in touch with me is via email. My email address is JENINE, M as in Mary, S as in Sam, at Columbus, COLUMBUS, .RR.com.
So that's Janine MS at Columbus.RR.com.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Janine, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
It's been fun, and it's closest to an R rating that we had. On Blind Spot.
Oh, just wait until we talk about Reiki and giving the full body treatment.
Stay tuned.
I took my troubles down to Madame Rue. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a bag that'll pay for the ride. Selling little bottles of love potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said, what you need is love potion number 9. She bent down and turned around and gave me a wink. She said, I'm gonna make it up right here in the sink. It smelled like turpentine and looked like Indian ink. I held my nose, I closed my eyes, I took a drink.
To Blind Spot on ACB Radio. Thanks to our technical people, Chris Bell, for making the music happen, and Jonathan Mosen for making the program possible. If you have any ideas for something you might like to hear on Blind Spot, drop me an email. It's Marlena, MARLAINA, at acbradio.org.